Good evening, ladies. We are going to jump in here tonight, and we're going to start with reading Psalm 23, our theme verse for this study. And I'm going to be reading it in the Passion Translation this evening. So sit back, close your eyes, and enjoy. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That is where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure. And he leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and you lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away all my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? For your goodness and your love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. This psalm, so many find comfort in, and it certainly does provide that. David is drawing on his experience as a shepherd boy. And most scholars believe when he wrote this psalm, he was actually king, had been king for some time, and his son, Absalom, one of his sons, but this was Absalom, he actually was drawing the hearts away from the people, and he was undermining David's authority until eventually one day he usurped the throne and took over, and David was banished from the country at that point. He holds up in a place called Mahanaim, and his loyal followers, and then Absalom, his son, and his followers were about to do battle. So this was perhaps the darkest night of his soul, grief-stricken, because in that battle, Absalom's life is taken, and the king is grieving that, though he did not like that Absalom had overthrown him. He did not care for that, certainly, but he was sickened and saddened and grief-stricken by the fact that his son was gone. Another part that makes this a grievous time in the king's life was that it was a civil war because there were no winners. They were all God's people. They were all God's people. And so all the casualties, all the lives lost were, as it were, on the same side. So it is in this dark place that David finds comfort. He draws on his experience of being that shepherd to those sheep. And he takes great comfort in those words. The passage depicts God as our personal and attentive shepherd, one who intimately cares for the sheep, yet is tough enough to defend them against attacks. This shepherd will make sure you are rested and well-fed, but he will also beat back all of those who would threaten your safety and your well-being. And we see this shepherd in the person of Jesus Christ. In John 10, verses 3-5, it reads, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." So he himself is the good shepherd. Jesus knows his sheep. That's us. He protects us from thieves and robbers. He laid down his life for us. He guides us, and we are able to listen for his voice and know his voice. It is in John 10 that he is personified as the good shepherd of Psalm 23. So the attributes and the actions of shepherd in Psalm 23 are true of Shepherd Jesus. The good shepherd, who also happens to be God, is offering to lead you through every moment of your life, every moment. But the key for us is that we will allow Jesus to shepherd us, allow him to shepherd us. All of us are shepherded, whether we realize it or not. Your shepherd might not be Jesus, but something is going to lead you. In 2 Peter 2:19, it tells us that people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. So maybe the culture is going to lead you. Maybe you're going to go with whatever the social media flow is. Maybe that is what is going to lead you. And maybe some of you are saying, "No, nobody leads me. I call the shots. I make the decisions around here." Well, then you are your own shepherd. You're leading yourself. You're depending on yourself to guide you to still water and green pasture. One thing for sure, if you are your own shepherd, it is likely that you are very much in want. You see, if you are leading the way, if you are the one shepherding your soul, then you are no stranger to stress, anxiety, fear, frustration, and the list goes on and on. In fact, if we were to paraphrase Psalm 23 with us leading the way, it would look like this: I am my own shepherd, and I'm a mess. I don't have everything I need, that's for sure. I wouldn't know still water if it were staring right at me. I haven't taken a rest in a green pasture for quite a while now. I don't walk along paths of righteousness, but I do know what fear and evil are. I seek comfort wherever I can get it. I can't stand my enemies. I want to hurt them. My cup definitely overflows. I am full of angst. I'm consumed by anger and sorrow and rage. I'm so full, I easily spill over. I'm packed so tight, it doesn't take much for me to explode. I don't know what's going to follow me all the days of my life, but I can tell you this one thing: my soul, not so great. You see, sheep are followers and they need to be led. So what are you letting shepherd or lead you? Whatever that is, if it is not Jesus, trade in whatever shepherd you have going for the shepherd. Allow Jesus to be your shepherd. Allow him to step into your stressed out frame of mind Let him be your replenishing guide. Let him lead you. Let him watch over you. Let him give you rest. Jesus gives you all of these things and so much more. He will show you how to deal with your enemies so they do not tear you apart inside. Jesus gives you a hope. He gives you a future. He will restore your soul. He'll give you goodness and love for today, for tomorrow, and every day for the rest of your life. You see, when we shepherd ourselves, we're lying down on rocky ground in the heat and the dust. And Jesus is calling to us and he is saying, lie down in green pastures, get some rest, stop trying to manage all the outcomes, take a break in the midst of the craziness of your day and acknowledge that I am a good shepherd and I have your best interests at heart. You see, here's the thing. When God refers to us as sheep, it is a reflection of how we're wired, although not necessarily a compliment. Sheep need leadership. God's not saying that we're cute and cuddly. He's saying that it is far too easy for us to have the wool pulled over our eyes. We don't see with as much discernment as we should, and we don't even rest when we need to. When it comes to making decisions about our well-being, well, we don't do that very well either. You see, the water that the good shepherd would lead his sheep to is specifically described as still because sheep lack self-awareness. If a sheep sees a roaring river, that's just as good a place as any to get a drink, to get their thirst quenched. Never mind that sheep are covered in about 5 sweaters worth of wool. So the sheep gets so excited at the sight of any water that he'll stick his head straight down into a rushing river and all 15 pounds of that wool becomes soaking wet, kerplash. Then he will go to his death, he will drown, he will go to his death, unless the shepherd takes his shepherd's crook. There's a reason that that is a big long pole with a hook on the end, and the shepherd would frequently pull them back out. He would pull them back out. Jesus pulls us to safety, provided, of course, we're letting him lead, provided that we are letting him lead. You see, he won't force us to follow him. And we need the still waters. We need the green pastures that our good shepherd is willing to give us. Leading us to still water is a foundational activity of a shepherd and is essential to what we will be talking about in winning this battle of your mind, this battle of your mind. We will continue talking about that often and frequently. Many years ago, we lived and worked on a farm, and they raised sheep, and I got to be the caretaker of the bum lambs. I enjoyed that time very much. And one evening, they brought one to me that they did not expect to live through the night. And I took that little sheep and stayed up with that sheep all night, nursed that sheep, held him in an upright position so that he would not drown on the fluid in his lungs. And this went on and on and on for many days, many nights, until he began getting better. he began getting better. He was just a little fluff ball, and I called him Snowball. I had other sheep, other bums that I took care of as well. And the farmer had made a little feeding shed for me. And it was a place where I could take the bottles and I could put a bottle in each one of these slats. And then the sheep would just drink their milk. And it was awesome. It was really, really nice. Well, when Snowball graduated from my bathroom out into the big world, he got to join the other bum lambs in the feeding shed. He followed me out there. I had the bottles in my hand, and he was just like all the rest, butting, head butting, wanted right in the mix. And I would just keep scooting him off to the side. I wouldn't give him his bottle. I didn't let him go in that pen. I set all the other sheep up, and I just kept scooting Snowball off to the side until they were all happily and busily, the other lambs were all having their bottles. Then I would take Snowball. We'd go over to the corner, climbed up on a hay bale, and I'd lift him up into my lap, and I would hand feed him. That is how we did it. And every day for a week, when we came into the shed, I'd have to scoot him off to the side. But then came this amazing day when we got into week two of this. He came into the shed with all the other lambs, but he just went over and waited by the hay bale until I had them drinking their milk. And then he waited for me, I lifted him up, and we would have that bottle by hand. See, I learned so much in that time, though. I learned that this little guy responded to a shepherd, responded to my care of him, responded to that in a very healthy way. Well, he grew, he was a little buck lamb, and he grew, and he was awesome. And when it came sale day for the bums to go off to sale, the farmer did not take him off to the sale. He said, no, no, I'm going to keep him. I will keep him as, I'm going to keep him as a lead sheep. So there he was. He said, any chance you could change his name from Snowball? Here he is, the biggest buck I've got, and you call him Snowball. And I said, no, not a chance. He's still Snowball. So that's what we would do. He was out there with all of the other sheep. But here is an interesting thing. He knew me. He knew my voice. He knew the sight of me. And when they needed to round the sheep up, for many different reasons, they would want to round them up. The farmer would say to my husband, can you go get Cindy and see if she can walk out there in the sheep and find Snowball? Well, I didn't have to walk out there and go looking, because as soon as I got out into the midst of the sheep, Snowball would find me. And when he found me and I led the way that the farmer wanted me to go, then all that other big group of sheep would follow. They would follow. Snowball would follow me. They would follow him. And that's the way it worked. He was an amazing lead sheep because he knew how to follow. And it was me that he followed. And that verse in John 10 about the sheep know the shepherd's voice. You have got to spend some time with your shepherd so that you know his voice, so that you see his face, so that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are safe, well-fed, and cared for, because that is your good shepherd. That is what he does for you. That is what he does. Back in Jesus' day, 80% of Jesus' listeners made their living off the land. Many of them were shepherds, and they would live out on the mesas with the sheep. No flock ever grazed without a shepherd, and no shepherd was ever off duty. When sheep wandered, the shepherd found them. When they fell, he carried them. When they were hurt, he healed them. Sheep aren't smart. They tend to wander into running creeks for water. And when their wool grows heavy and they fall in, they will drown. They need a shepherd to lead them to calm water. They have no natural defense. Sheep have no claws, no horns, no fangs. They are helpless. Their only choice is to run. Sheep need a shepherd with a rod and a walking stick to protect them. They have no sense of direction. They need someone that will lead them on paths that are right. And so do we. We tend to be swept away by waters that we should have avoided. We have no defense against the evil lion who prowls about seeking whom he would devour. And we too get lost and wander away like sheep. Each of us has gone his own way, Isaiah 53:6. We need a shepherd. We need a shepherd, not a cowboy to herd us. We need a shepherd to care for us, to guide us, and to lead us. And we have one. His name is Jesus, and he knows us by name. Knows us by name. Philip Keller writes that sheep do not lie down easily, and they will not unless four conditions are met. They are timid, and they will not lie down if they are afraid. Because they are social animals, they will not lie down if there is friction among the sheep. And if flies or parasites are troubling them, they will not lie down. If the sheep is anxious about food or hungry, they will not lie down. Rest will come to a sheep because the shepherd has dealt with the fear, the friction, the flies, and the famine. Wow, that is an amazing picture of what Psalm 23 is and what your good shepherd does for you. He leads you beside the still waters. He knows when you need green pastures. He knows when you need rest. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 100, verse 3. In 2004, a cultural phenomenon took place when a sheep was discovered to have survived several years without a shepherd. You may remember hearing about this. The sheep's name was Shrek. You see, a sheep's wool needs to be sheared about once a year. And if they are not sheared, their coat will grow too large and it becomes matted. And then dirt and droppings become entangled in their wool and they nest in there, causing infection. But most troubling is when left unsheared, sheep have trouble regulating their temperature and many will die from overheating. So it was a miracle Shrek was even alive after 6 years of avoiding his shepherd by hiding in caves. When he came back, he could hardly walk, eat, and function the way a sheep was created to. Why? Because Shrek was overburdened with a heavy coat he was never created to bear. You can look up Shrek online and you can see pictures of that big woolly sheep. Wow. He was such a mess. But when we, like Shrek, walk away from our shepherd, we can take on a heavy coat we were never created to carry. It may not even involve us actively walking away from him, but the truth is, if we don't have a consistent intimacy with the Lord, a regular, ongoing, close relationship, we will become weighed down with burdens that we were never meant to bear. So many who feel overwhelmed with worry, apprehension, and fear simply lack that intimacy and quiet time with Jesus. That, you see, here is the thing. Shrek was a sheep whose coat grew out of control because he avoided his shepherd. The same thing will happen to us. Here's the good news. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we come to the shepherd, he promises to free us of that weight. When Shrek returned to his shepherd, they shared him for the first time, and he emerged from his old burden. Wow, didn't even look like the same sheep. God says, "I will restore your soul. I will reach into the deepest parts of your soul, to the place where nothing else can touch, and I will restore your soul. I will heal your heart. I will refresh your spirit." You need that, don't you? When you are weary, when you are burdened, when you need your soul restored, when you are overwhelmed and undone and you need your soul restored, when you feel guilt, when you feel shame, you need your soul restored. When you are assailed by fear and by worry, you need your soul restored. When you feel wounded and you are hurt, you need your soul restored. When you feel alone and rejected, you need your soul restored. When you feel angry and rejected, you need your soul restored. At all of these times and so many more, you need God to do for you what you cannot do yourself: heal your soul. You see, nothing else can do it. Not entertainment, not a weekend off, not sports, not exercise, not television, not a vacation, not a shopping trip, not your hobby. Nothing else can restore your soul. The God who created the universe, the God who breathed life into Adam, he can do it. He will breathe life into your soul. He can make you alive again. It happens when you meet with him, when you connect with him, when you draw close to him, when you are alone with him, when you worship with God's people and you share in him. Jesus, your good shepherd, says to you, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Christ will restore your soul. So often we are looking for a temporary reprieve from all that burdens us or weighs us down or gives us worry. We're looking for a temporary reprieve, just like those things I mentioned up there. Might be entertainment, might be exercise, might be a vacation, might be shopping, might be those things. And all at best those will do is take a quarter inch off of the wool on Shrek, on the overburdened wool that you carry around. It will just shave a little bit off. But if you want to be lifted of this burden, then you go to your shepherd. You go to your good shepherd. You spend some time with him. You spend some time with him, and he will relieve you of whatever it is that troubles you, whatever it is that troubles you. When we practice silence, we remember that God's in charge and we are not. And that, frankly, is very freeing. Not only that, it lowers our blood pressure. When we practice silence, we actually slow our breathing. And then this tells our bodies that we are safe. When we practice silence, we practice believing God will take care of us. He will take care of our to-do lists. He will take care of our troubles. He will take care of our trauma. He will take care of our shame. He will take care of all of it, not some of it, all of it. But friend, we have got to allow ourselves room to sit in the silence and find that real substantial connection. If you will practice this, practice remembering that God is a good shepherd and that you are a precious sheep. You are his precious sheep. And maybe for just a few small minutes at a time, you can practice believing that God is a good shepherd. I recommend these breaks frequent and often in the course of a day. This isn't where you have to sit for hours upon end to achieve this. It's where when something starts to overwhelm you, when something starts to roll around in your head and take you down a path that you do not want to go, when you have a decision that you need to make, take 5 minutes, take 5, 10 minutes, take shepherd breaks. Take this time and come before the one who can restore the balance in your life, because he's the only one that can. Otherwise, you are walking around with a very overburdened amount of wool on your back, and it's heavy and it's cumbersome, and it will affect things. It will affect your quality of life. That's what it will do. So come often, come frequently. Cease striving and know that I am God. I am God. Psalm 46:10. Surrender your anxiety. Be silent. Stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. I am God. Psalm 46:10 in the Passion Translation. You see, it is in this place, that we get to experience freedom from so many of the things that we are unnecessarily carrying around. So this evening, yet this day, and for the next few weeks, practice these small breaks where Jesus is your good shepherd and where he is leading you into the place where you will find his peace, his comfort. He will restore your soul. He will bring the balance in your life. He will remove the worries. He will remove the stresses. He will remove those things that burden you, because just like the shepherd, when all of those conditions are met, the sheep is able to rest peacefully, knowing that God is in control. I love that verse, Psalm 46:10. Cease striving and know that I am God. And you are not. I am God. I will take care of all that concerns you, but you have to let me lead you. I know the way in which you should go. Let me lead you. Let's pray. Father, that is our heart's cry this evening as we come to you. Father, I pray that everyone listening to this can simply come to you knowing they are safe, they are secure, and that you will lead them in the way everlasting. You will lead them. You will guide them. You will give them comfort. You will meet their needs. You will do everything in Psalm 23. Sit as we sit before you and with you and let you lead us. You will restore our soul. You will restore the balance that we were meant to walk in. Precious God, I thank you that you are that good shepherd. I thank you so much, and we love you so much. Father, may we be the snowball that presses in to the love and the care and follows his shepherd. Not the Shrek running and doing it his own way, having to hide out in caves, starting to carry burdens that he was never meant to carry, because that's what happens when we go our own way. So, Father, may we be a snowball, responding to the love of our shepherd. May we be a snowball, not a Shrek. In your precious and powerful name we pray. Amen. Those of you listening online, you may absolutely text me your prayer request for the next 2 weeks. We'll see you then. Blessings on your next few weeks and blessings on your time, your small breaks, many of them throughout the day. When you need to breathe, lower the blood pressure, and find the restoring arms of Jesus. He'll return your balance. Have a great couple weeks.